From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson, broadcasting today from NPR West in Culver City, California. This is Here and Now. And coming up, more on Russia's annexation of Crimea today, and I will test the water at a recycling facility here in California.
I want to hear that, but first, the latest on missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. Today, Thailand's military said its radar detected a plane that may have been that flight minutes after the jet's communication went down. They said they didn't share the information because they weren't specifically asked. Also today, Malaysian officials once again contradicted earlier statements today, saying they're not certain when the critical ACAR communication system in the plane was disabled. All told, the search area is now over 2 million square miles, 10 times the size of Texas. The plane's black box will only send out signals for a month before it runs out of battery. Andy Pastor has been doing some terrific reporting as airline industry reporter for the Wall Street Journal, so we've brought him back in. And Andy, could you first help us understand this latest news from Malaysian officials? Yesterday, they said the communication system was disabled before the final goodnight transmission at about 1:19. Today, they're saying the plane's signaling system could have been disabled anytime between 1:07 and a half an hour later. What do you make of the change?
Well, it really shows that there's a significant amount of friction and confusion and disorganization, I think, as part of this investigation. This is a pretty critical point in the sequence of events, and effectively, initially the Malaysian investigator said that they were very sure that the signaling system was shut down before the final radio contact, which strongly suggested that at least one of the pilots who said goodnight as he signed off was involved in diverting the plane. The Malaysian Airlines CEO, just a day later, with the aviation minister standing by his side, essentially, if not contradicted it, but cast a serious doubt about the initial statements and said it's not clear when the signaling system was turned off. And so this is a fairly significant point, but also today, just as we're speaking, there are news reports coming out of Malaysia that the government is ceding some control over the search. It's allowing some countries like China and Kazakhstan and India more essentially authority and leeway in determining how they search, where they search in their areas. And it's one more example that the Malaysians simply haven't been able to establish a really firm, organized control and direction over this investigation or the search.
Well, and for those thinking, well, this is such an impossibility, we keep hearing the phrase needle in a haystack. You spoke with a former pilot, I believe John Cox, who said it is unprecedented. It's unlike anything we have ever seen.
Well, this is not a search. I mean, this is like going across the continental United States, essentially looking for pieces of an aircraft. This is unbelievable. And so, realistically, what they're now doing is trying to divide the area into 400 square miles, which is a manageable piece of real estate or water, and that's how they're proceeding. But as I've indicated before, and as I think most experts are beginning to think, this could drag on forever. I mean, there's no indication that this is a short-term surge, and most troubling, I don't think that there's a clear sense of where in this vast search they think that the most likely area is to find the plane or the wreckage.
Well, Andy, weigh in on the latest reporting on the onboard computers, because on Friday you were the first to report that officials were thinking that a routine communication from the aircraft to a satellite indicated that someone had made a change in the plane's direction. Now, today's New York Times seems to be confirming that. They cite sources seeming to say it definitely was a change that was programmed in to the onboard computer. 7 or 8 keystrokes, they quote officials as saying. Although they're not sure whether the plane's flight pattern was reprogrammed with that computer before the plane took off or right then as it made that big turn. What do you make of that?
Well, I think the indications are that there was some commands at the time of the turn, and the way you turn the aircraft of this size would be to reprogram the flight management computer or to put information into the flight management computer. It's much harder and extremely unusual to actually turn the aircraft by turning the yoke of the aircraft. That is to actually do it yourself rather than through the computer. So I don't think that it's surprising that increasing emphasis is now on the flight control computer giving the directions to this aircraft. I think that the sense is very clearly that something happened to make the plane turn sharply toward the west, and that it was someone on board who was directing that turn.
Well, and that someone sadly could have disabled the passengers. We are reading that the cockpit can disable the oxygen to the cabin. But just briefly, people are asking why no contact, no phone contact, no Wi-Fi, no text messages, no emails. You have a sense of that, briefly?
Well, as much as we think that we're always connected and you can always do something on your laptop or your Wi-Fi system, they were simply too far from any ground stations, and you couldn't get any signals. But I do believe that there's some intelligence agencies who are trying to see if maybe they can go back and reconstruct some messages. But it's extremely hard, and they couldn't, essentially, the passengers couldn't contact anybody because they couldn't get a ground station to pick up their signal.
Yeah, and if the families who have said they've heard the phones ringing, that might just be the systems searching
right.
And trying to find the phones.
That's correct.
Terrible. Andy Pastor, airline industry reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks, as always.
Thank you.